Good morning. As Scott says, I'm Joe Shudak. I am the director of Camp Witness. Hopefully you guys been out there. It's a beautiful place. It's along Highway 20 or by Long Pine. Actually, it's off Highway 20 down in a ravine. It's a beautiful place. It's got a river, Long Pine Creek, that goes through it. And we just have a beautiful setting, lots of trees, and it's very green. Yeah, so it's a Bible camp for kids. We have a 7-week program we run during the summer. We have camps every week that range from camps that go from second grade all up to 12th grade. So if you want more information about that, you can go online, or I'll be hanging out in the back afterwards, and you can ask me about it. Yeah, I'm really excited to be here. RJ said you guys like a 2-hour sermon, and I don't know if I can perform that. I'm just kidding. I won't go that long. So a few months ago, I was reading through the Bible, and I was reading Hebrews chapter 11, if you guys want to turn there. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the faith chapter, you know, heroes of faith. The author, he goes through and he brings up men and women that were in the Old Testament that had great faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the author says, "Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For our answer is one, God's approval by it." So faith is believing in something, doing something, even though you don't fully understand it. But you have trust in God that He knows best. So, verse 3, it says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by God's command, so that what is seen has been made from things that have not are visible." So by faith we understand that God is the creator. We weren't there. No one was there. You know, it was just God and the Trinity that are there when He created everything. So, but we understand that to be true because of faith. He goes on to say, "By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain." So he did that sacrifice because of faith. He goes on, and you know, he brings up Noah. We all know the story of Noah and how he built an ark. You know, this is something, you know, he didn't even see flooding. He didn't see rain. You know, today, if somebody told you there was going to be a flood, it's a little more understandable because we've seen that stuff. We've seen huge floodings happen. But no one ever seen any of that. And so to go build an ark, a boat, even though he's never seen that, took a lot of faith. But he did that. Abraham mentions Abraham, Sarah. By faith, Sarah, even herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring. She was really old. And God told her she's going to have a child. You know, God promised Abraham that he was going to make him the father of nations, but he had no children, and so when they're old, they had Isaac. So there's quite a few amazing people that God, the Hebrews author, we don't know fully who the author is of Hebrews. That's why I'm saying author, not the name. Anyway, so they mention a lot of great people, but then you get down to verse 31. This is what caught my eye. By faith, Rahab the prostitute received the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed. I got to thinking, Rahab the prostitute. I mean, I just got done reading all these men and women, and we know they weren't perfect, but then we came to Rahab the prostitute and how God was able to use her. And that got me to thinking, well, wow, God can really use anybody if we have faith. So let's go ahead and read that story. It's found in Joshua chapter 2. So let's go ahead and turn to Joshua chapter 2. So to give you kind of a recap, so Israel, they left Egypt, and you know, they crossed the Red Sea, and then they came to the Jordan. And Moses sent out 12 spies. Two of those spies, one of those spies was Joshua. But he sent the 12 spies. 10 came back and said, don't go. There's too many people there. They are strong, big. We can't defeat them. And then, but two of the 12 said, let's go. Let's do it. And one of those two was Joshua. And so God, Moses did not go. And so God punished Israel and made them wander the wilderness for 40 years. And then they came back to Jordan, and they had a new leader, which was Joshua, and a new generation. And Joshua was ready to conquer the land, to take what God has promised them. And so in chapter 2, verse 1, Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two men as spies from in Kedesha Grove, saying, go and scout the land, especially Jericho. So Joshua, as being a military authority, you know, the commander, leader, he wanted to do the right thing and scout out the land, know his opponent. He wasn't thinking about, oh, maybe I shouldn't go if there's still big giants out there. No, he was ready to go, but he wanted to make sure that he knew the opponent and were ready. He told the men, go to Jericho. Jericho was a fortified city, kind of in the center. It was a strategic place to conquer if you wanted to take over the land. And so the scouts, they left. So it says in verse 1. So they left, and they came to the house of a woman, a prostitute named Rahab, and stayed there. So they're able to get into the city, Jericho, and they came to this house, and it ended up being Rahab. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites' men have come here tonight to investigate the land. And so apparently they didn't go unnoticed, probably because they dressed differently, they looked differently, spoke differently. So people noticed, hey, these aren't from the land. And they even knew they were Israelites. And so so they went and told the king. And so in verse 3 it says, then the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab and said, bring out the men who came to you and enter your house, for they came to investigate the land, the entire land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. So she said, yes, the men did come to me, but I didn't know where they were from. At nightfall, when the gate was about to close, the men went out, and I don't know where they were going. Chase after them quickly, and you can catch them. You can catch up with them. So we see here the king, he sent word to Rahab, said, hey, I want those two spies. Bring them to me. He probably was going to torture them and kill them. You know, he didn't want them going back to Joshua and giving the report of the land. You know, you want to try to keep stuff secret so he can surprise the enemy. But Rahab, she did something unexpected. She hid him, and then she lied about him. You know, a lot of scholars you read, they kind of condone this lie. You know, as Christians, we shouldn't lie. But I come to think about this. Rahab wasn't lying to save herself. The easiest thing for her to do was to tell, yeah, these men are still here. Go take them. By lying, she puts herself in danger. But she lied to save somebody else. And so kind of think about, like, you know, World War II or, you know, 1940s when, you know, there was Germans that hid Jews from the government. And so they were deceiving people. But we look on that and say, you know, they're saving lives. And so it's kind of justified for that, you know. And it's a tough situation to say, you know, is it okay to lie? Well, is it somebody else you're trying to save, or is it yourself? You know, if it's somebody else, it's a hard decision to make. And she may also say that she didn't know who they were, but we'll find out that she knew exactly who they were. And so, let's start. And so she told the Jericho men from Jericho, to say, hey, at nightfall they left. And so that party, they left. And then in verse 8, goes on and says, before the men fell asleep, this is the two spies, they're up on the roof. She went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that the terror of you has fallen on us. Everyone who lives in the land is panicking because of you. So she's giving them good information right now. You know, this is the information they're looking for. What is the people doing? And she's telling that the people are panicking. And like I said, she also knew who they were. They know, and she knows that they should the real God. And it goes on in verse 10. Why? How she knows this? For we have heard about the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea, and before you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings you completely destroyed across the Jordan. And when we heard this, we lost heart, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven and above and on earth below. So she's pointing out to them how the people of Jericho, you know, that land where Israel is supposed to, the Lord's given, they already heard about how they heard about how they crossed the Red Sea. Now you have to remember, this is 40 years after that happened. So Rahab wasn't even alive. So she's hearing this from people passing it down to generations. And that would take a lot of faith to believe in that if you weren't there. Imagine someone telling you, you know, you're sitting at the gas station, someone say, oh, did you hear about that nation crossing, Lake McConaughey, you know? It dried up and crossed, and you're like, where's the video? You know, where's the proof? Where's the pictures? And so that would take some faith to believe that happened if you weren't there. But they obviously all believed. And then she talks about how the nation of Israel destroyed these two kings. These were mighty kings. They weren't some little villages that nation of Israel came up to and destroyed. These were big, you know, they had forces. They had ways to protect themselves. And then you can find that story, I think it's in Exodus. Anyways. So, but no, they completely destroyed him. And so that made news. And so when the people heard this, that caused them to lose heart. And so I can imagine when Israel was at the Jordan 40 years ago, that the land was ready then too. I imagine the people were scared at that time too. Too bad they didn't trust God, have faith in God, and move into the land like God told them to. But no, they had to take a break, 40-year break, because they were displayed God. At the end of the speech, she said, God is God in heaven above the earth and below. So she realized that the Israelite God was a true God. It wasn't like a false God, like all the pagan gods they served. The Israelite God was the real deal, who actually had power. And so she knew that these men, that the Israelites were going to conquer it, Jericho. This is a fortified city. You know, it had thick walls. It had armor, men. But she knew they couldn't withstand God, Israelites, because they serve the true God. So verse 12 says, now please swear to me by the Lord that you will also show kindness to my family because I have showed kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, mother, brothers, sisters, and all who belong to them, and save us from death. So she's asking, hey, can you save us? She already knows that they're going to conquer, like I said, they're already going to conquer Jericho. They don't stand a chance. So she's asking for the Israelites to save her and her family from the destruction. In verse 14, it says, the men answer her, we will give our lives for yours if you don't report our missions, and we will show you kindness and faithfulness to you when the Lord gives us this land. And then she let him down by the rope through the window. since she lived in a house that was built into the wall of the city. And in verse 16, he says, go to the hill country so that the men pursuing you won't find you. She said to them, hide yourselves, work there for 3 days until they return. Afterward, go on your way. So she was able to get them out of the city. Unfortunately, her house was right on the city wall, so she was able to let them down. And she helped them out, say, hey, don't hide in the hills before, you know, when the search party comes back, then go. Which is pretty smart because it tells us that when the search party was making their way back, they were still searching. They didn't just give up. And then verse 17, the men said to her before they left, We will be free from this oath you made us swear. Unless we enter the land, you tie this scarlet cord to the window and through which you let us down. Bring your father and your mother, brothers, all your father's family into your house. If anyone goes out the doors of your house, his blood will be on his head, and we will be innocent. But anyone with you in the house should be harmed. His blood would be on our heads. And if you report our mission, we will be freed from the oath and you made us swear. And then she said, let it be as you said. She replied, and she sent them away. After they have gone, she tied a scarlet cord to the window. So this is kind of symbolizing, when the Passover, the Israelites had to put blood over the door, and everybody that was in that house was protected. But when they left, they lost that protection. And so they're doing that. These guys are they're smart. They wanted to make sure the house was marked, so they can tell Joshua, hey, don't attack that house that has the scarlet cord in the window. We need to protect that Rahab because she saved us. It's also interesting because they don't understand what's going to happen next. We know what's going to happen to Jericho. We know how Israel is going to march around the city for 7 days and how the walls are going to fall. And so apparently there's going to be one part of that wall, a house, that's still standing because your house is built into the wall. I wish I had some pictures of it. It's kind of a cool ordeal. My father-in-law, he's a history buff, especially with Hebrew. And so the wall goes up and it kind of goes out like, it's kind of like a T shape. It's kind of weird, but it's cool to look at. And so they go out. The men return. The men did what she told them to do. Verse 23, then the men crossed the Jordan, and they went to Joshua, son of Nun, and reported everything that they happened to see. They told Joshua, the Lord has handed over the entire land to us. Everyone who lives in the land is also panicking because of us. So they told him the information that she told the spies. And we see how Joshua crosses the Jordan, and we see how God told him to march around the city, like I said, and they take Jordan. They destroy it. But Rahab survives. And so we see how God used Rahab to protect these two men, how they're able to retrieve this information and give Joshua confidence to cross the Jordan. Rahab, because of her faith, was able to save her entire family. And so it's important for us to know God can use anybody. We might think, I have those days where I sit down and I was like, man, I've done all these awful things. I don't have all these abilities. I don't speak very well. I'm not very strong. And I think, well, God can't use me like he can use somebody else. But that's not true. God can use anybody. He calls us to have faith. And Rahab, it's not the end of Rahab's story. If you turn to Matthew chapter 1, you find her again in the genealogy of Christ. In verse 5, it says, Solomon, father of Boaz, by Rahab. That's Rahab, the prostitute. And can you believe that? That God used her in the genealogy of Christ. I think that would be her, King David's great grandmother. So, yeah, that's, it's, yeah. So if you, my challenge for you guys, if you have, if there's an option to open up that you feel God's calling you to do, and you might think, I'm not qualified to do that, I don't think I have the abilities or the education to do that, just trust in God. Have your faith in God, and He will supply the way to get that accomplished. So yeah, it's important to have faith. And so that's my encouragement for you.